Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Sans Pants Radio. Am I getting paid for this?
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 8 of Zombie Plagued Chult.
Monkey Bridge.
Yes, it got its name from the monkeys that perch on its walls and hang by their tails from its underside. Sure enough, as you get closer, you see monkeys all over the bridge.
Who's the statue of, Adam? Do I recognize who that might be?
The statue? It's a shrine to Ugtau. It's one of his many forms.
Yeah.
You immediately recognize it as the warrior form. No, I'm gonna make you fight this creature if I can.
Wait, what?
You traced it wrong. It's angry.
The statue's alive?
Sorry. The statue gets up and attacks you.
Koopa Louie is but small, and this creature is quite big.
Is he dead?
No. He starts to reform.
Okay.
It just threw him off. What does the golem consider? You fucked up the maze.
Oh, no, you need to solve the maze. Flask, keep attacking.
Get an extra 6 solvy points. You're on 17 out of 30.
I thought maybe solving the maze would give us a boon of some kind.
Yeah.
Will it, Adam?
You're both going to get 1,475 experience points. Do you count that as a boon?
No.
No.
Flask of Wine puts his hat paws up and says, All right. It is a waka nut. Pop, Flask of Wine insists that all they have to show is a waka nut.
A whack of what?
Surprisingly, you're not familiar with the flora and fauna around Chult. So you don't know what a waka nut is.
I don't care about plants.
You're not sure if a
waka
nut is a thing or if it's an expression. You're not sure what he just said.
What a whack of what?
A waka nut. Tiffany, you are led into the bowels of the ship.
Brilliant.
Sunday night, out of one of the crates here in storage, pulls out a little bag, a little brown leather bag. He opens it up a little bit, and as he cracks it open, light spills out of it.
It's one of the special rocks that Flask of Wine was so keen on.
Yeah, those drowning rocks.
Oh, the special magic drowning rocks.
I drown.
You drown and then you die.
In the bag, there are several fist-sized.
Fist-sized. My fist
nuts.
Or big fist?
My fist.
Ah, big fist.
It's got like a, similar to a walnut. You ever seen a walnut before? It's got that big cranium sort of look to it.
Yeah.
I think you'll also find it looks like a scrotum, Adam.
A bit like a scrotum, yes. That's correct.
Brains and ball sacks look the same. They don't.
It's got a couple of bumpy ridges running along it, 2 or 3. Actually, so it varies depending on the nut. They all obviously are the same nut, but they've got different numbers of ridges on them. Sunday night shakes it or picks one up and shakes it. And when, the bag is glowing. When he shakes it, it glows a little. And then he shakes it again and it glows a little more. It's like a motion light, basically. Every time he shakes it as well, it produces a little rattling sound. A little,
Oh, that's comforting, Az. That's so nice.
He hands you, he says, hand? He puts a nut in your hand. It is a waka nut.
I love it. Thank you.
Flask of Wine gets basically bounced down the bottom of the stairs and Pop is in the hold with you.
What the fuck's going on here?
Pop, look, was it a waka nut?
Waka nut.
I shake it.
So no one's getting murdered.
Oh, no? I look at Sunday night.
Am I about to be murdered?
No, you're not doing any murdering.
Are you murdering us? Flask of Wine stands up.
Flask, I'm not murdering anybody. Provided no one else is murdering anybody. Then I may rethink my stance on that.
I'm not murdering anyone.
Good.
You're Sunday night, just absently. Like, it looks like he's half paying attention.
Tabaxi, my fucking god.
I love them so much.
They're adorable.
It produces light in a 10-foot radius when you do that. The light lasts for about a minute.
So, where did you find these?
What? They grow on waka trees.
How long have you guys had them for?
I have had... Sunday Night says, I have had them for some time. They are mine. I am giving them to you.
All of them?
No, one to you. Oh. No, yeah, one sorry. To you.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Good. This is really
Why
nice.
Are you two here? Flask of Wine says, we wanted to steal your nuts.
Wait. Flask. I didn't even know what the fuck the nuts were a moment ago.
Didn't you? But you said their name so many times.
I do. Poppy's fuming.
Tiffany you know is happy.
I'm going back above deck. Fuck the lawyers.
All right, you walk away.
I walk away.
Sunday Night says to Flask of Wine, does he not have a bowl of soft to get his anger out of? Flask of Wine shakes his head. I did not see enough bowl of soft.
Is there enough bowl of soft for the anger in
bowl
pop?
Of soft to make you happy?
Oh, Sunday Night, can I have a look at your bowl of soft, if that's okay? I've seen Flasks of Wine. It's really nice.
Flask of Wine does it different to me.
Yeah.
No, my bowl of soft is different. He reaches into his coat and pulls out. As he's pulling it out, you hear chirping. And Sunday Night produces a small white chicken.
Oh my god.
Like a baby chick, like a yellow chick, but white instead of yellow.
Oh.
May I touch it?
Sunday Night gives you a really narrow-eyed look. He doesn't know if he can trust you. He pulls the chicken back. No.
I nod and say, okay.
You may pat.
I can pat it?
Yeah.
Oh, I give it the most gentle pat. You know when little kids, like, they are shown, like, a rabbit or something, and the parents, like, be gentle, and the kids, like, and they sort of, like, bite one of their lips, and they just, like, do the most gentle pat. Their hand is as far away from their body as they can muster. I give it one of those pats.
All right.
No one could be more gentle than me right now.
Sunday Night allows you to pat for as long as you want.
Oh, is it soft?
It's very soft. It's like a baby chicken, basically.
Yes.
It cheeps, as a baby chick would.
Thank you, Sunday Night.
You are welcome.
I don't even have anything to give in return, or do I?
You are lucky. It is still young. Its horns have not grown in yet.
What the fuck is that thing?
Sunday Night puts it back into his coat when
that's
you're
done.
That's
not for me to know. That's not for me to know.
When you told me of your father when we were telling stories, you sounded sad. I thought this might help you in the darkness of your life.
I give Sunday Night a big cuddle, being very mindful of the chicken.
He hugs you back. Flask of Wine comes in and hugs for a little bit as well, but Sunday Night swats him away when it becomes apparent he's trying to get one of the nuts.
After a very long hug, I pull away and say, this will light my darkest times. Thank you very much, Sunday Night.
You are the welcome.
I want to question you about what the fuck just happened, because I've just seen you come out from under there the happiest I have seen you in an hour. I don't know, maybe you saw a tree that looked nice. Wait, that's Flask, who counts trees to make sure everything's okay.
It is a good number of trees.
Poor Flask is so sick. What? There are no doctors in this world that can help him.
He's also a bit of a piece of shit.
How?
Just trying to rob his friend of a nice thing.
No,
are
that's
they friends because
very...
they're both tabaxi? That's racist.
They seem like they're friends.
They're not.
Okay, then.
They're just both tabaxi.
Also, the stealing things is that pretty tabaxi?
Not really. No.
Well, it's pretty on brand for Flask of Wine.
Yeah, he's a thief.
He does like special things.
Flask of Wine, I know this is a long while ago, but the first time you met Flask of Wine and his sister, the letter that you sent them, they had received by robbing the mailman.
That's right, it arrived like a day before it should have.
Yeah. Because they robbed the mailman that was meant to deliver their message.
You know? And we were going to pay them in things.
Mm. Mm. What was all that about?
I got a waka nut. I shake the waka nut.
What? What's it do?
It lights up in the dark. It's a lot of light around us. It'll be really useful.
And why did he give it to you?
because he wanted to light up my darkest times.
Right.
He said my story was pretty sad.
Your story is pretty sad.
Yeah, but no one usually cares.
Fair enough. You know.
This is so nice.
Yeah, it is.
This must be what it's like to have siblings.
That is not what it's like to have siblings.
But they're a family member and they have to love you the whole time. They're always nice?
Nah, well, they are always nice, but they don't have to love you the whole time.
How can you have one without the other?
Oh, very easily, my friend. Very easily.
Another day or so passes and you arrive as close as you can get via the river to Khur Sabal. You're going to have to make it on foot the rest of the way, but it's like a day or so travel at most. It's not going to take you very long.
I'm assuming the boat crew will stay here.
Yeah, no, they are to wait here for you.
Good work.
As you pull up in the boat, everyone, what would both of you have been doing during the day?
Probably brooding. No.
You could be. I like to imagine for some reason you meditating in the middle of the deck.
I'm just sitting there with my eyes closed in the middle of the deck. No one's sure if I'm dead, asleep, or angry.
But maybe we certainly don't want to talk to you.
Maybe it's always a mixture.
Correct.
Tiffany, what would you
do? Oh, no, Adam. Yeah. Adam, I'm sitting in the middle of the ship with a knife and a fork in front of me in silent prayer.
Fuck yeah.
I am going to use my leatherworking tools and the scraps and stuff that I have to make a little leather necklace for Sunday night as a way to say thank you. Actually, what is Sunday night? Does Sunday night have a belt?
Sunday night uses a bit of rope as a belt.
I make Sunday night a very nice belt.
As you're working, both of you at a certain point look up from your work and you see a bunch of people are congregating around the starboard side of the ship, leaning over and looking into the water as the ship is slowly pulling up. So as the crew are slowly and slowly needed less and less, you can see that they're making their way to the starboard side of the ship and peering over the side.
I put my knife and fork away. I finished my silent prayer. Actually, I want to end my silent prayer with a verbal end, which is just, and fuck you in the face. Then I put my knife and fork away. And I get up.
A very unorthodox ending to that prayer.
I have a complicated relationship with my God, Adam. I then go over to the starboard side of the ship. Horns, you coming?
Oh, I look down at the belt and looking and thinking how important it is. But that I should. The other thing's time sensitive. So I look down, I'm like, yeah. And I put my belt down and I go.
By maybe just sheer coincidence, Pop, you end up next to Artist Simber at the railing. It's just the only place that's easy.
I feel like we've had one conversation since Chult, and that was when we were fighting giants together. And otherwise, I don't think we've actually spoken.
I think that would be accurate.
How frosty is it? It's always frosty around him because it's got an ice ring.
You fucking beat me to it. Without really maybe looking at you, Artis Simber, just as you're both staring off the side of the ship, Artis Simber comments saying, well, that's just certainly not good, is it? You look down and you see three giant crocodiles, basically in the way of where you need to go. You need to get off the starboard side of the ship and onto land there to head towards Khur Sabal. And you can see those three giant crocodiles are sunning themselves where you would want to land. You know how I said there's like kind of sheer cliff face on either side? They are on the only slope available on that cliff side. And when I say giant crocodiles, I don't think you understand exactly how big these things are.
I think I'm about to, Adam.
Each of them are about the size of a bus.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hang on, thick as a bus or long as a bus?
As big as a bus. Imagine a bus with arms and maybe add a crocodile head.
Oh.
Does it have a driver?
No, but the wheels do go round and round.
Get a good boy card, Adam.
Give me a good boy card.
No, that is decidedly not good.
What's the plan here? Maybe Autumn asks you. So, what's the plan here, guys?
We can't go a bit further down where the crocodiles aren't.
It's not a way to circumvent the crocodiles?
We could certainly try, but we wouldn't be able to moor there. We'd have to drop you off there and come back here and wait for you.
Well,
in which case we'd have to deal with the crocodiles again later.
Maybe we could wait. They can't stay here forever.
I wouldn't think so. How long are you going to wait?
I don't know.
2 hours?
2 hours? In 2 hours, highs or lows?
Highs.
The crocodiles begin moving. They attack the boat. Pop, who would you like to act with?
I'm going to partner up with Artis again because that's fun because we hate one another.
All right, Pop and Artis, you're first. One of the crocodiles launches up and slams onto the side of the boat, rocking it backwards. It leans heavy to starboard, and the boat tips far enough down that water begins to lap onto the deck. You are horizontally leaning to try and stay upright.
Is there any meat on this boat, Adam?
There'd be rations, but not like, not all, there's no barrel of meat, you know? There's meat in storage around.
Could I chum the water so we could distract the crocodiles enough to get on land and head away?
You could try to do that.
I want to try to do that.
I would say that your action is spent collecting meat with Artis Sember.
All right.
And
come on, Artis, let's get some meat.
It's the croc's turn. Tiffany, we're about some. No, actually, everyone was leaning, looking over the boat at the crocs. One of them attacks, launching at you.
That's insane because its tooth is the size of my head.
Tiffany, it launches and wraps its massive jaw around you. You will take 24 points of damage.
Oh.
And you will need to make a... you're just grappled.
Is it going to death roll, Cass?
So it launches out of the water. Tiffany, you do not see it coming. It's so fast. It's crazy to see something that big moving that quickly. And then, crunch, its jaws lock around you, and it starts dragging you off the boat. At the exact same moment, its tail whips around and hits Autumne.
Oh, no. Oh,
out of all of the people.
Oh, that's real bad.
I could probably be the captain.
Hey, look at me.
I'm the captain now.
Autumne takes 15 points of damage and is thrown clear across the ship. She takes a dunk. She goes overboard on the other side of the ship.
I'm below deck getting meat. This is a terrible idea.
Tiffany,
should have punched.
It's your turn.
Can I please fight with my best friend?
You want to fight with Grig?
Yeah.
Grig is not going to be very useful, but you can. I will allow this mistake.
Hang on. Adam, if I were not to fight with Grig, would Grig be safe and out of harm's way?
Grig acts as his own character then.
And would he maybe not attack the crocodiles?
You just don't know.
Stay safe?
You just don't know.
And play as Grig and make him hide.
Grig, you hide. Yes, I hide.
Are you picking Grig?
Yep.
All right.
Well, so I'm in the crocodile's mouth, yes?
Yes, you're being grappled. You'll need to make a check to escape.
Because, in a way, me and Grig are flanking the enemy.
No way you're flanking the enemy. Also, this enemy is too big to be flanked.
Cass, you're a tiefling, yeah?
Yeah.
Don't you have that thing where if something grabs you, you can catch it on fire?
Hellish Rebuke, which you should have used as a reaction, but I'll allow you to do now.
Well, I would love to just set this bad boy on fire using my Hellish Rebuke.
It fails its reflex saving throw and is bathed in flames.
Okay.
It takes 11 points of damage. But that was just your reaction on its turn. Then you get your turn as well. You can try to break free of the grapple, or you could try to cast a spell with a... You'd need to make a constitution saving throw to do the spell in your current situation. Well, but you actually can't draw your rapier right now.
I may as well get out of its mouth.
You're going to try and make your escape?
Let's make my escape. Let's bust out of this.
You fail. You're
all
the
three. Stay right here.
Was it a skill?
Yeah. Yes, it was a... Oh, it was a strength. Sorry.
Oh, hang on.
It was a strength. Oh, no, it's a skill. Yes, it is a skill.
But I am lucky, you see.
Would you like to expend one of your luck points?
I would love to now that I've remembered I have them.
How many do you get?
Three.
It's three a day.
We have died so much. Although, yeah. To be fair,
hey, three becomes a 19.
Oh, I'm so lucky.
So You
I'm so lucky I taste bad.
You try to wriggle free. You are hopelessly outmatched. You do not have the strength necessary to get out of this crocodile's mouth. But as you wriggle, you dislodge an already loose tooth. And when it falls out, there's a little gap for you to slide through and you are out of the crocodile's mouth.
God, you can still big.
You have your movement and a bonus action if you want. So you could try to get away. But that's kind of it.
Because I'm not able to flank. Mm-hmm. Will green flame blade still be good?
No, it'd be kind of useless. You could cast it, but
does this creature seem too big to make go to sleep?
It definitely does.
That's so upsetting.
They're asleep just before, Adam. Nothing's too big for bedtime.
Well, in that case, I'd like to cast mirror image.
Nothing's too big for bedtime. Shush. You unfortunately cannot cast mirror image because you spent your action escaping.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, then I'll run away.
All right, cool. You use your bonus action and your rogue ability to disengage. You disengage and you can move up to 60 feet away from it.
I grab Grig and we head to the rig.
All right. You head to the rigging that would be near the alligator. Crocodile.
No. I meant brig. I just made a mistake.
There is no brig on this ship.
Isn't the brig just wherever you get arrested?
Yeah, some ships just don't have that.
Some ships are lawless.
No, like, can't you just call it? I tried to make a ship joke.
I know. I was purposely stonewalling you as a joke.
Oh, no, that's funny. I'm glad some comedy came out of this, you know?
Hey, you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the line, "We taught him wrong as a joke," which reminds me, obviously, of Kung Pao. And would you like to watch Kung Pao later tonight?
Yes.
All right, cool. That's what we're doing later tonight. You are obviously invited.
Thank you, Adam.
So, you and everyone listening at home is invited. Just message us in at D&D is for Nerds on Twitter. So that was Tiffany and Grig. It is now everyone else's turn. So Flask of Wine opens up with his bow, but that's kind of all he can do right now. His first attack bounces off the thick hide of the crocodiles. The second one strikes home and he deals 10 points of damage to the same one that Tiffany hurt. Then it is Quasha's turn. Quasha calls lightning. I think that's quite a powerful spell as well. I think we're about to see some fucking serious magic.
Ooh.
Oh boy, I'll be waiting this whole campaign for some serious magic.
Oh boy.
I'll tell my wife about this.
As Quasha reaches his hands to the sky and begins to manipulate natural magic around him, a storm cloud appears in the shape of a cylinder. The storm cloud hovering over one of the hovering over one of the crocodiles sends a bolt of lightning streaking downwards.
Ooh.
The bolt of lightning streaking down deals 26 points of damage to the creature. And as that happens, Koopa Louie launches himself off the side of the boat and slams into the crocodile, attempting to spear at it. But his spear breaks upon the creature's hide. Then Dragonbait slashes once, twice, and three times, creating a bloody X on the underside of the crocodile's mouth, dealing 22 points of damage. And finally, the crew throw javelins, fire, arrows, and one even wielding a club, maybe, let's say, Shu, tries to batter the crocodile. In total, all of them do 11 points of damage.
That doesn't seem like enough.
Good thing you're parted with Grig.
Pop and Artis, you attempt to scrounge. Pop, you're doing a pretty decent job, but Artis Simba, as he tries to get below decks, one of the crocodiles, crunch, brings its tail down between him and the access to lower decks, and he unfortunately does not really get a great job at scrounging.
But we've got some meat.
You've got some meat, yeah.
Excellent. Right, Artis, here's my plan. We're going to put this meat in the water, try to attract the crocodiles to the meat, and then you're going to freeze them in the river.
All right, then. Okay, shall we remember that this could potentially destroy our boat?
So could the crocodiles.
Fair point.
I'm not a long-term plan sort of man, Artis.
All right, you chuck the meat into the water. And
I chum it up at him. Oh, come and get it, you scaly sons of bitches.
I'm going to make it an animal handling check to try and attack them. You get 5 in total. You rolled a 2.
Is that a skill?
It's a skill, yes.
What if I plus a
d12? Plus a d12? That would be quite useful. You get an extra 4 points. 9 in total. That's not great. Unfortunately, the crocodiles... Look, it's weird because crocodiles should prefer dead meat, but they seem to be more willing to hunt than you would normally assume.
Huh. That's unfortunate for us.
Are they magical crocodiles, Adam?
They are not magical. Do you have anything else you'd like to help with this roll?
I can just... Can Artis try?
Yeah, I was about to say, actually, Artis could try. Wait,
can we both try?
You will be both trying now. Artisember... Hey, Artisember, you're chucking the meat in, you're... Whee, whee.
Come over here, you big ugly fuck. Scam and eat some meat.
Artisember takes his pointing finger, his index finger, and his pinky finger.
You fucking dickhead.
Jams both of them into his mouth and whistles as loud as he possibly can. All 3 crocodiles turn around. The one leaning on the boat that had been just destroyed by the crew launches off, and all 3 of them swim towards your chummy water.
Wonderful.
That is your and their turn. Tiffany and Grig, would you like to do anything while that's happening?
Can we just propel away now? Is that an option?
What do you mean by propel away?
Well, they're all in one spot. Can we just make the boat go away from them?
You could. You would need the help of the crew to do that.
Okay, everyone. While we're getting their chum on, we need to get our scrum on. We need to leave.
That's
good.
Thank you.
Cry out with that. That's what it's the crew's turn now. That's what the crew is doing. Cooper Louie runs along the back of the crocodile that he was on and tries to launch himself back onto your boat. I get a bad boy card, and he fails.
Oh, no.
Cooper Louie, splash, lands in the water.
Fuck, I can't freeze the water with Cooper. Well, I can because I'm an asshole.
At about
but
the
I won't.
Same time, another lightning bolt from the storm cloud that Quasha summoned strikes that crocodile. It takes 22 points of damage and is killed, slain. The crocodile sinks deep into the water, and its blood and flesh send the other 2 crocodiles into a frenzy. The water begins to churn and writhe, and it runs heavily red as the crocodiles eat and gorge and feed on their own dead and the chum that you put in the water. The boat begins to drift away, but you're unsure as to the fate of Cooper Louie in the water.
Question, Adam.
Yeah?
The captain also fell in the water, didn't she?
Yes, she did. You're very right.
Huh.
Huh. Huh. Huh. Well, we probably don't need to freeze the water now. We could probably just get off the ship and go up where we need to go, right?
You could, yeah. The crocodiles are sufficiently distracted. Highs or lows?
Highs.
The 2 crocodiles remaining, both of their heads at some point come out of the water, and you see... In between them stretched the form of Cooper Louie. Cooper Louie takes 24 points of damage from one of them.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Fuck.
And 18 points of damage from the other. Cooper Louie is torn in half.
Can we just get a bit of him and make him live again? Is that how he exists?
Cooper, highs or lows?
He like a lizard's tail? Highs again. Oh, no.
Highs or lows?
Lows. Oh, no.
God. Neither Autumne nor Cooper Louie exit the water.
Have the crocodiles gone?
The crocodiles are still just feeding and feeding and feeding. The crew don't know what to do. They're scared to pick a fight with these crocodiles because they know they'll lose. Quasha keeps striking them with lightning. He's not looking at anyone. He's just staring out at the crocodiles.
Fuck's sake. Is there any point fighting these crocodiles?
Eventually, after a bit of umming and ahhing, Quasha kills them with the call lightning.
And nothing comes out of the water.
Nothing comes out of the water.
Oh.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Also, hey, D&D is fun, but if you're wishing that you could hear questions that no one ever thought to ask about pop culture you only kinda know, then do I have news for you. Plumbing the Death Star is a show by Zammit, Dusher and Jackson, where they, as my dad calls it, make a living while being a drain on society, like you, Adam. So, if you like the sound of that, or if you want to know why my dad doesn't believe in entertainment, then head on down to sanspantsradio.com and search for Plumbing the Death Star.
All right.
Autumn A and Cooper Louie are dead. You collect both of their corpses, or what's left of them.
Fuck, Cooper Louie was my...
No.
We had him from the... We lost him and got him back.
I rolled a 1 on the luck check out of 100.
So if we had gone low...
If you'd gone low, he would have been fine.
All right, Grig. Is it your ship now?
Grig nods. I suppose it is.
We should bury the tree and then head up the cliff.
I look at Quasha. What's happening with Quasha?
Quasha's face is stony. He gives off and seems to have no emotion. He just trudges silently. Highs or lows?
Highs.
It begins to rain.
Oh, I thought that was the sound of Vaughn.
Yeah, me too.
No, no.
Vaughn's far
thought
away.
It was a tree breaking.
Actually, fair point. The trees explode and everyone on the ship screams. But standing waist deep in the water, hands on his hips, is Vaughn.
Hey, Vaughn, you're right. Give me a big thumbs up.
Vaughn gives you a thumbs up. Only because he was ordered to. There is no understanding. I need you to understand. I need you to know that Vaughn is not intelligent. He simply did it as ordered.
You're always trying to make us know things.
I refuse to.
After some explain... Oh, do you explain to Grig what the fuck Vaughn is? Because they're freaking out.
He's with me.
All right, then.
Do I need to explain any more to them?
You don't have to.
No, I won't.
You can leave immediately if you want, but they're going to have a service for Autumn A and Cooper Louie.
Oh, we'll stay. I'll stay.
Right.
If you try and leave, I grab you and I shake my head like, what are you doing?
I don't try to leave. This is a funeral, Cass.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There's decorum to adhere to. I removed my hat.
Two little graves are dug.
Oh, no.
Oh.
They were both small-sized.
No.
Two little graves are dug. A headstone is made for Autumn A, and Quasha walks off into the forest while the graves are being dug and comes back with, like, a small cornucopia of different plants. And that serves as the headstone for Cooper Louie.
This is heavy.
All of the different crewmen say something for Autumn A, and they, in passing, say something about Cooper Louie. They don't really know him very well, so a lot of the crew would just say, like, a nice word about Cooper Louie. But they give long eulogies about Autumn A Swift until it comes to Grig, who just puts a hand on the headstone. It's a big stone that they just laid out the front and someone has carved into it. Maybe Sunday night carved into it. Here lies Captain Autumn A Swift and Dark. She led the brazen Pegasus like none before her and none after her shall. May her bones forever lie here undisturbed. There are no words for Cooper Louie. It's just a wreath of different plants. But after all of the crewmen have had their say, it comes to Grig, and Grig puts a hand on the rock and solemnly cries for a minute, then takes his hand off and steps back. At any point, if any of you want to say anything,
no,
you can.
Not in my place right now.
Not you could say even about Koopaloo if you wanted to.
I feel like Quasha should go.
Quasha takes a knee in front of Koopaloo's grave, puts a hand on the disturbed dirt there, and says something very soft and faint. If you wanted to, you can roll to hear it.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely, Adam.
Oh, I get a bad boy card, and pop, you do not hear it.
I mean, that's expected.
Tiffany, you hear Quasha say the words, run, run fast, run happy, and run among your own.
Aww.
This is really touchy.
It's just nice.
Flask of Wine steps up. I did not know Otome for very long, but Koopaloo and I, we had a bet to decide which one of our groups would be the first to pass. It was a joke among us. You do not know that they spoke the same language.
Well, we know that Flask can speak
Infernal
at least. So what's to say the old man's a bit of a linguist?
And it was a joke, a morbid joke between us, but I am sad to say that I won.
Flask of Wine, that's fucked.
Flask of Wine steps back. Quasha...
He doesn't nail that.
Quasha is given Flask of Wine side looks ahoy. Dragon Bait steps forward. And everyone smells roses.
Sad.
Honeysuckle.
Concerned or tenderness. Like, sort of like care, but.
And roses again.
Oh, and then sad again.
Artisimber steps forward. Artisimber says, I also did not know Otome for very long, but Koopaloo and I knew each other for some time, weeks. Which, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, is not very long as well. But long enough to know that Koopaloo was a good heart and a good soul and will be sorely missed. You could travel the length of Chult and the world itself and not meet his kind again. A light has been snuffed out today.
I'll step forward. I didn't know Otome for very long, but I did love her very much. She was as kind to me as family. I felt that's how well she treated me and I guess everyone else. And she was a good captain. Koopaloo, I knew quite well. And I loved him very much too. He'll be so sorely missed. You said Quasha kneeled on his grave?
Yeah.
I'll kneel on his grave and say... Bye, bud.
Adam?
Yeah.
Yes. Pop. I step forward.
Next to you, Tiffany, Artisimber visibly stiffens.
Fair.
I take off one of my several belts.
Yeah.
I drape it over the wreath. And then I say a prayer of mourning from the Church of Gregory Bones.
It's an eloquent thing, beautiful, filled with strange apologies, but heartfelt apologies. And all of you feel like there's an actual earnestness to it. Like he's genuinely sad and upset. And he finishes it by saying something to the effect of, sorry to be a bother.
What? It's the funeral, so it's not the time and it's not the place, but I stare into the distance because it would be rude to stare at you.
It feels impolite. You're right. It feels impolite to look at someone who is saying that they are sorry to be so emotional. As you look away, Tiffany, you hear a Flask of Wine muttering to himself next to you, should have ended it with a meal. That's how you fucked it up. Why did you try to say anything other than what a tabaxi would? End it with a good meal.
Flask of Wine didn't end his... I was like, you didn't end yours with a meal.
No. Flask of Wine is talking about his eulogy.
Oh!
his own.
His own eulogy.
Bitching about mine.
He knows he messed up his eulogy because he didn't end it with a meal.
I'll say, you did fine.
You rolled deception. Ooh, a two. You could use your luck to re-roll that if you wanted to.
Is it funnier that you're lying and he knows it?
If, okay.
I suppose he could roll a one. He does not.
Well, I just want to ask, if it comes through as a lie, does it come through as a lie that I've tried to tell with kindness?
It does.
Okay, well then it can stay as a lie.
All right.
Like I've been like, oh, I care about how you feel and I don't want you to feel bad. My earnestness comes through the lie.
You earnestly lie.
Yes, I tell the most holy of fibs. A noble not truth.
We're ready to go then.
A nod.
Quasha, if you don't want to come up to the Bird City, you can hang down here with the boat. We'll be back.
I think I would like to stay.
Fair enough. Who's coming with me?
That would be Flask of Wine, because I guess you need at least one guide. Dragonbait, Artist Simber, and of course, Tiffany.
Let's go.
You head off into the jungle.
Oh, no.
We've lost so many good people.
Oh.
Actually, we've only lost. This is actually the first one because River Mist.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
We hadn't got to know River Mist very well.
And Flask of Wine really came out of his shell once.
Correct.
Once his sister died.
Correct.
Are you making any effort to be stealthy? You'd be moving at a slower speed if you did so.
We know that this area is safe, don't we? It's an area of good.
No. Well, there's nowhere in the jungle that's safe, but this area near Kersabal is presumably safer. But, yeah, there's no part of Chult that's safe. Even the cities are dangerous.
Part of me wants to be moving stealthy because that's probably smart, hey?
I think it would be smart.
We're moving stealthy.
Okay. So you travel by shadow and cover whenever possible. You make a stealth check. Ooh, you're not particularly good at it, are you?
I'm fine at it.
You part some vines before you, and as you do so, you encounter two skeletons, standing skeletons, one in each of them wielding a cutlass in each hand. Between them is a soldier of sorts, like a guard, someone armed in proper armor and with a sword.
Do you know what I just realized?
Mm-hmm.
Before we left, Adam, I probably instructed Vaughn to wait with the ship.
Okay, so
because there is no way we could be stealthy with Vaughn, right?
Well, you could be going ahead of the group, so you could still bring Vaughn if you wished, but Vaughn would make the group the group would become very, very easy to spot.
We don't need Vaughn while we're sneaking to a temple.
Yeah,
right. We might probably won't need Vaughn there anyway. You're going to get there today.
Yeah, I'm going to leave Vaughn at the ship.
All right,
and he has instructions to protect the crew.
You see, yeah, those two skeletons are. A soldier between them and behind them with his red robes rolled and hiked up to his knees, sweating heavily.
Yes.
A particularly pudgy-looking red wizard of Thay. You can see he's also got his arms, his sleeves are pushed up as high and as far as they can, and his hood is pushed back so that you can see his big, sweaty, bald head. He has little speckles of hair all over his head, presumably because he hasn't had a lot of time to shave his head here in the jungles of Chult. And you can tell from that, those little spickles of hair, that peach fuzz, you can tell that he's balding. You see each other at about the same time. The red wizard of Thay dabs at his head with a kerchief. Who is there?
Hot enough for you, magic boy.
Yes, it's quite tepid. Who is this? Who are you, you turtle creature?
Hang on. That's not very nice. Do you corn a fucking creature?
He spits on the ground in front of him.
You seem to be outnumbered right now. I would be polite if I were you.
You are maybe like half a minute away from the rest of the group.
I raise my voice slightly.
You're right, I am outnumbered, but I could still take the three of you on, you fucks.
Tiffany, you have pretty good hearing. You hear that.
I run. But before I'm just like, and run.
Are you intentionally antagonizing him?
Well, it was more so that they would hear that there are three people up ahead.
Okay, so...
And Adam, when is Pop not intentionally antagonizing somebody? I don't like the
if
wizards.
If you're for real doing this, you can do it. We're just going to start combat with your friends being a couple of rounds away from you.
No, I was just being...
Okay.
You know, loud. But still my usual brusque self, Adam.
What are you doing out in the jungle, that wizard?
Kill him now before his friends arrive.
The red wizard immediately sees through your ploy. We're going to go to initiative.
I'm going to cut your balls off and feed them to you, old man.
You'll have to get to me then, won't you?
Yeah, I make a fucking beeline for old mate.
All right, hang
let's
on.
Go.
God, how haven't we died?
We have, Cass. A lot.
No, but proper, forever. I feel like at this point it's what we deserve.
It is. Especially because neither of our characters play in a way that is particularly practical or helpful for a scenario. Just me.
Tiffany, who would you like to act with?
A flask of wine.
Pop, you're not going to be acting with anyone just yet, but when your friends arrive, I'll have you act with them.
No worries.
So it is that soldier's turn first.
Oh, there are four of them.
Yeah.
Oh, whoops. Two skeletons, soldier, fat wizard. We've seen these guys before.
You do know that these are, like, the red wizards have had scouting parties and stuff like that. You haven't seen these specific ones before, but you have seen some before.
We can interrogate this fat wizard.
Oh, fat boy, why are you in the jungle?
It's too sweaty for you out here, fat boy.
The guard barrels forward and slams you with a shield. As he knocks you back a couple of steps, you hear him like grunt underneath his breath, and through his faceplate, you can see his eyes roll at the situation. This fight did not need to happen, he says to himself.
You can stop whenever you like, mate.
Bang on, buddy.
His first attack will hit, but his second attack is a miss. He strikes you with a Morning Star. You take 6 points of damage, Pop.
Ow.
And Tiffany and Flask, you start sprinting forwards. If you want, you actually both move at pretty quick speeds. You're among the fastest in the group. If you want, you can ask Flask of Wine to use his ability and he can be there this turn. But that's his ability used for this week.
Oh, okay. Look, things look bad.
Well, you don't know that.
Oh, and we can't see that?
Yeah, you...
Oh, well, if I can't see it, we don't run.
All right. Would you like to stealth, your way forward?
No, so still running. I don't get Flask of Wine to use the ability. Sorry.
Cool.
We still run. If we don't see him, I don't ask Flask to run.
You are four turns away from the fight.
Four.
It's the skeletons.
They can hear me and the jig is up.
They probably didn't hear that, but they can hear the signs of combat now.
No, but you heard me yell out when I yelled out earlier, right? Yeah, cool. No, that's good to know.
All right. The skeletons close in on either side of you.
How far away from the ship are we?
You're a bit away from the ship, unfortunately.
But what if you're a really big metal stone man and you've got big legs? Guardian and...
He actually only moves at a regular human's pace. He doesn't move
that
quickly.
That's insane.
But he takes such big steps.
Well, he takes them lumbrously and slowly.
Big fucking dumb fuck.
That's insane.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. He only moves at 30 feet around. The skeletons on either side of you swing. One misses as you dart backwards, but you dart into the blow of the other one. And the other
fuck
one strikes
me.
You with what you realize now is a great sword. You will take... 11 points of damage.
I realize now that's a great sword.
Then it is your turn, Pop.
I just yell into the jungle, two skeletons, red wizard, and a man in armor.
You'd hear that.
Oh, God.
And then I say to the man who was like, this fight could have been avoided,
mate, you can put your sword down anytime you like.
If you want, you can make a genuine intimidation check, but that would be your action.
Fuck yeah, let's try and scare this boy to put his sword down.
I'm not going to say this is going to be easy, though, because this guy is definitely a trained soldier of some sort.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's 100% of the shots you don't take.
Mm.
And 90% of the ones you do.
I'm not a good shot. I need to practice.
You tie with him, so if you have anything to give you, like, +1, You rolled a 12, so technically you did better than average, but if you want, you could re-roll, and you're not going to win now, so you might as well do a re-roll to see if that'll win.
Well, yeah, re-roll it. Let's go.
You fool. Oh, no. Yeah, all right. You...
It's a one.
No, you rolled
an 18. You intimidated yourself.
The soldier takes a step back, looks behind him at the mage dabbing his brow furiously.
Right.
Looks back at you and says, what are your plans with him?
I won't kill him. Just want to ask him a couple of questions.
Ooh, no. See, if he survives, that's bad for me.
All right. How about I ask him some questions and then I'll cut his head off?
The guard plants his morning star in the ground and takes a step back. I don't control the skeletons, but I'm not going to fight you.
You're a good man. Yeah, the soldier's not fighting anybody.
All right, it's the red wizard's turn.
I just hear that like, what?
When you get there, you'll understand. You'll see a soldier standing there, not doing fighting.
You're coward!
I am alone. Skeleton, two soldiers, scratch the soldier. Oh, God. I'm bolting at full pelt, just like, what?
A cone of cold buffets you, freezing air with sleet and ice and snow. You've seen Ardis Simber do the same effect from his ring, and now you understand maybe how scary Ardis Simber can be. You grin and bear the damage, but it is still significant. You take 15 points of damage. That also would have buffeted several other people, but the mage chooses to focus it in on you. So you're not sure how powerful this red wizard is, but you might want to tell your friends to fan out, otherwise they get caught in that.
He's got cold magic. Spread out. Be smart.
All right. And then... this is great. And then it is Tiffany and Flask of Wine. You're three turns away.
Cool. So while I'm just processing all of the new information in my head, oh, God, Flask, run.
Oh, the guard had his turn as well, but he just stands there.
Yep.
He
could help. Can I convince him to help?
That'd be your turn.
Oh, would it be pushing it?
Might be pushing it. The skeletons have their turn. Both of them start hammering away at your shell, but you know how to take that blow. Sure you can feel the strikes rippling along you, but it deals you no damage. It just bounces harmlessly off your shell, the same way that Kupalui, bounced off the skins.
Why? You big fuck. That was mean.
And Pop, it's your turn.
I'm going to ignore the skeletons. I'm going to go to the wizard and try to knock him out.
All right. You're going to try and knock him out?
Yep. Okay. I assume if he's like incapacitated, the skeletons stop maybe. I don't know how magic works.
Your first attack might actually be a miss.
Oh, no.
You get plus 8. What's his AC?
That's right. I get my super Lit's attack 3 times. Oh, yeah.
He's not expecting this fight, so he wouldn't have mage armor.
Adam?
Yeah?
Oh, no. It's already happened. Don't worry. I'll do it next time. Zephyr Strike. I forget.
First attack is about to strike him, but at that time, he takes a step back and panickedly casts a spell. The spell creates a shimmering white shield, and your attack bounces off that shield. Your second attack, though, catches him. You break his leg with your hammer, and then your third attack, you slash at his belly with your sickle. Using the flat part, you deal a significant bruise to his belly.
I'm trying to knock him out, not kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he bled out, I might, you know.
Hey, it works. You deal 16 points of damage to him.
Why? Why are you such a mean boy?
Unfortunately, it's just how I was raised, fat man.
Will Pop be able to defeat the Red Wizard without his allies, or has Pop made a big mistake? Find out next time on Once Upon a Time in Zombie-Plagued Chult.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.